They took an official shuttle up to the Elemental, armed with a warrant from Parliament to interrogate anyone they damned well felt like. The Elemental was one of the few E-class star cruisers to survive the rebellion, and was currently being outfitted for duty on the rim. The huge ship was surrounded by smaller craft, buzzing back and forth like wasps around a nest, while hundreds of men in atmosphere suits crawled all over the outer hull, making repairs and working on upgrades. The captain didn't reply directly to Jack Random's request for an urgent meeting, but his communications officer passed on a message that he would make himself available in his private quarters as soon as possible. Ruby docked the shuttle where she was told, and the two of them waited impatiently in the airlock for someone to open the door from the other side. It was a fairly large lock, as airlocks went, but Jack still felt uncomfortably confined. The airlock's inner door was a thick slab of solid steel, and breaking through it would be hard, even for him. If the Campbell really didn't want to talk to them about his clan's connections with Shub, he could keep them waiting there forever. Or at least until they got tired of waiting and went away. Jack caught Ruby eyeing the inner door thoughtfully.
No, we are not going to try and break it open. That door was designed to take a lot of punishment.
It wasn't designed with us in mind. Nothing is.
Quite possibly. But even if we could, I don't want you trying just yet. I don't want the Campbell thinking he's got us rattled.
I am not rattled, just pretty peeved. And if his people don't get a move on, I am going to carve my initials on their foreheads.
I think you'd better leave the talking to me. Do try and remember we're here after answers, Ruby. It really is awfully difficult to get answers out of a dead man.
Scowling, Ruby held her peace. But her hands didn't move from her weapons. The inner door finally swung open, and a spit-and-polished junior officer smiled winningly at both of them.
Sir Jack, Ruby Journey, please, come aboard, sir and madam.
Ruby spoke quietly as she and Jack pushed past the officer and emerged into the corridor beyond.
Who's he calling a madam? I've never been in a house of joy in my life.
He's just being polite. Don't hit him.
The officer smiled brightly and pretended he hadn't heard anything.
I'm Lieutenant Shang.
He looked distinctly nervous, as though expecting them to jump on him at any moment. Jack was tempted to shout boo just to see what would happen. The lieutenant tore his fascinated gaze away from Ruby's thunderous scowl and smiled determinedly at Jack.
If you'll please follow me, I'm to escort you to Captain Campbell's quarters. He's looking forward to meeting you.
If he is, that makes him practically unique these days.
Yeah, we must be losing our touch.
Shang wondered whether he should laugh politely, decided he probably couldn't pull it off convincingly, and settled for smiling till his cheeks ached. He indicated the way, quietly proud that his hand wasn't shaking noticeably, and led his two guests through the ship. It was days like this that made him wonder whether his pension was really worth it. Jack maintained a quiet but thorough watch on the people and places they passed. The shining steel corridors were crowded but not cluttered. Everyone had work to do, but managed to avoid getting in each other's way. They were busy but disciplined. No one was standing around loafing or killing time. The crew had a job to do, and they were getting on with it. And yet, there were no security officers present to spur them on or to keep them in check. Which implied that the new captain ran a tight ship, where discipline came from within, rather than being imposed from above.
So, what do you make of your new captain, Lieutenant?
The captain is a fine officer. He knows his job. It helps that he came up through the ranks rather than straight from the academy.
Bit young, though, isn't he?
He knows his job.
Jack couldn't help noticing that the lieutenant forgot his nervousness in his haste to defend the captain.
That's all that matters, Sir Jack. He was a hero in the war, kept on fighting till they blew his ship out from under him. The Death Stalker himself pinned a medal on him.
So he did.
They came eventually to the captain's private quarters, and Shang knocked sharply on the door and stepped back. The door slid open immediately, and Shang gestured for them to go in. Jack nodded, and Shang took that gratefully as a dismissal. He saluted smartly, turned on his heel, and strode off down the corridor at a speed he hoped precluded being called back. Jack couldn't help smiling. For once, his reputation was being a help rather than a hindrance. Though he couldn't help wondering how the captain was going to react. He gestured to Ruby, and she led the way into the captain's cabin, her right hand resting on her belt near her gun. The quarters turned out to be neat and tidy, and just big enough to move around in. The bed folded out from the wall, and the writing table and chair were bolted to the floor. Space was at a premium aboard ship, and even a captain couldn't expect too much. The door slid closed behind Jack as he stared unhurriedly about him, looking for clues to the man's personality. There were a few personal effects, scattered here and there like intruders, nothing particularly unusual or unique. Presumably, the captain hadn't been on board long enough to stamp his own tastes on the cabin. Or perhaps he simply didn't have much left after being forced to abandon his last ship. The walls were bare. Normally, they would have been covered with testaments to the captain's honored past, landmarks in his career. Citations, battle honors, that sort of thing. But all the Campbell had was his medal, and presumably that would have looked rather lonely on the wall by itself. The door to the adjoining bathroom suddenly hissed open, and Robert Campbell emerged, mopping at his wet face with a towel. He was wearing his uniform trousers, his jacket hanging open to reveal a remarkably hairy chest. He was tall and handsome and looked very young to be a captain. He nodded amiably enough to Jack and Ruby and sank into the only chair, dropping the towel onto his lap.
Forgive the informality, but we're all rather rushed at the moment. Take the weight off your feet.
He gestured for them to sit on the bed. Jack decided that he'd feel more dignified standing.
Good of you to see us at such short notice, Captain.
Your message wasn't very clear. In fact, it bordered on vague. Anyone else, I'd have turned them down flat. I have 101 things to do before this ship will be ready to make its departure date. But if the legendary Jack Random and the infamous Ruby Journey feel it's important that we meet, then it probably is. Even if I'm damned if I can see what we might have in common. We don't move in anything like the same circles. But needs must when the devil vomits on your shoes, so I've made some time for you. Ask your questions.
I wasn't sure I'd still find you here. I did hear that you might be quitting the fleet, resigning your commission to become the Campbell, head of your clan.
There's been a lot of pressure for me to do that, but the fleet is my life, Sir Random. It's all I ever wanted. And to be made a captain so soon. But I do have responsibilities on Golgotha. So I'm torn. Torn between my duty as an officer of the fleet to help rebuild the Empire, and my blood responsibility to help the surviving members of my family to rebuild Clan Campbell. We were almost wiped out by the wolves, but now the remnants are finally coming together again, and they need a strong head to hold them together. I'm not the only claimant to the title, but the thought of having an official war hero as head of the clan appeals to many. For the moment, I'm trying to juggle both sets of responsibilities at once, till I can decide where my real duty lies.
Once an Aristo, always an Aristo.
Robert smiled at her coldly.
Once a bounty hunter, always a bounty hunter.
We might have been on different sides during the rebellion, but I trust that these days we're both concerned with what's best for the Empire. There are things we need to know, Captain. Things only you can tell us about Clan Campbell and its past dealings with the rogue AIs of Shub.
Robert nodded slowly.
I always knew that would have to come out, eventually. So many things that might have stayed secret forever were revealed during the rebellion, or after. So much has come to light that we're all pretty much numb to shock now. But even so, something like this. If I tell you what I know, which isn't much, I must have your assurance that you'll keep this to yourselves for as long as you can.
We could make you talk.
Probably. But not easily, and not soon. And if word got out that Jack Random had been involved in the torturing of a genuine war hero...
I've always done what I considered necessary, and hanged the consequences. But I don't see any need for violence just yet. Why should I keep your secret, Campbell? Convince me.
Because my family is currently in a very delicate state. The wolves nearly wiped us out. They certainly tried hard enough. They hunted us down in the streets, dragged us from our safe houses, showed us no mercy. Very few dared to help us. Some of us survived through our positions in the armed forces. Others, by means we are not exactly proud of. But now things have changed. Blue Bloc has declared all vendettas a thing of the past, all feuds rendered null and void. They're trying to strengthen as many families as possible to consolidate their power base, so Clan Campbell no longer has anything to fear from the wolves, and the surviving remnants can emerge from the shadows at last. But with no one to head the family, warring factions will inevitably tear the clan apart from within. And a secret like this, The apparent betrayal of humanity itself, coming out now, would finish us off. I need your word, Jack Random, before I can share with you what I know. I trust your word.
But not mine.
Of course not. You're a bounty hunter.
Very wise. Tell him to go to hell, Jack. Who cares if one more family disappears? They were the enemy before, and they're the enemy now. Let them all die.
It's not that simple, Ruby. A moderate, responsible clan could do much to defuse Blue Block's more extreme intentions. And if there has to be a clan, Campbell, I'd rather it was run by a genuine war hero than some unknown. You have my word, Captain.
Ah, you're getting soft, Random.
Not now, Ruby. Captain, I'll keep your secret as long as I can justify it to myself. And Ruby will follow my lead. But I can't speak for anyone else. I have no way of knowing how many others know about your family and Shub. So build your clan while you can, Captain, and build it on strong foundations, because the tide's coming in.
Understood.
Robert mopped at his face with a towel, then threw it aside. He looked older suddenly.
You have to understand, I was never a part of the main conspiracy. I don't think they trusted me that much. But the basic deal was that we provided Shub with the secret of the new star drive, in return for advanced tech from them to keep our factories at the cutting edge of Empire industry. We never dealt with them directly. There was always a series of cutouts, and the left hand not knowing what the right foot was doing, so we could plausibly deny everything if we had to. Finley said it was all a con, that the family had no intention of ever actually giving them the alien drive, but I can't say whether that was true or not. I think Finley believed it, but he was never head of the clan. His father Crawford was, and that man was capable of practically anything to get what he wanted. So Shub sent us tech, and we prevaricated, and the deal continued. No one ever mentioned the word treason, or what would happen if Shub decided that we were never going to deliver and chose to cut their losses by exposing the deal to the other families, or the Empress. But then the wolves attacked, and it all became moot anyway. After Clan Campbell was brought down and scattered, the wolves discovered the existence of the deal and took it over themselves. Valentine was running the wolves by then, a man capable of absolutely anything. And that is as far as my information goes.
Can you think of any other members of your family who might know more about this?
Not really. The few who almost certainly knew all the details died at the wolves' hands when they stormed Tower Campbell. None of it was ever recorded, on paper or disk, for obvious reasons. The only ones to survive who might know anything are Finley and his wife Adrienne. Though, since she was only a Campbell by marriage, and therefore never to be fully trusted, she was probably kept on the periphery, like me. As for what Finley might know, you'd have to ask him. Don't expect too much from him, though. He's been busy losing his mind for some time now, and I don't know how much there is left.
You don't like him, do you?
He's an insane killer who wades through blood for the joy of it. When I think of how he used to hide his evil behind the mask of a dandy at court, it makes my blood run cold. A werewolf moved among us, red in tooth and claw, and we never knew. But none of that matters. He's still family.
Let's talk about Blue Block. What can you tell us about them?
Not a lot. I was sent to them at an early age, but there was a family argument, and I was called away before I could be initiated into any of their mysteries. Apparently Crawford thought the clan needed more influence in the armed forces, so a dozen of us ended up in the army and the fleet. For me, it was the best thing that ever happened. The fleet didn't care what my background was. I had to prove my own worth, and I did. It was the making of me. I don't think Crawford ever really trusted Blue Block, even then. He always suspected they might develop their own agenda. And, just maybe, he was worried they might discover the deal with Shub and use my well-being as a weapon to force the family to cut them in. Even then, people were beginning to suspect that Blue Block graduates owed loyalty to Blue Block first and individual families second. I'll tell you this. A lot more people went through the Black College than you'd think, or the families would ever admit. You don't think a powerful force like the families would roll over for just anybody, do you? They agreed to your deal because they had no choice. The clans bowed down to Blue Block because their own rising generations are theirs no longer. They belong body and soul to Blue Block. It's all secrets and mysteries at the heart of Blue Block. The Black College, the Red Church, the Hundred Hands. Names handed down in whispers at third and fourth remove. No one knows who runs Blue Block anymore, or what their intentions are. It doesn't make any difference. The clans are no longer in any position to ask questions. Blue Block knows things, and their people are everywhere. In high positions, too. You'd be surprised.
I doubt it. There's not much left that can surprise me anymore. And I never did trust the families or anyone connected with them.
How very wise.
What about Finley? Any idea where we can find him?
He's just where you'd expect him to be. As close to blood and death and madness as he can get. He's living at the arenas.